You're widening a gospel, a chapter each day, by the things that you do and the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithful or true, I pray, what is the gospel according to you? Regardless of the dispensation, age, regardless of culture, regardless of whenever, if we were to go through Scripture, we would find out that every dispensation and every age, the people of God were responsible to represent Him in His nature and in His character. And whether they be stories, fables, whether they be parables, or regardless, or as we're going to read in chapter 20, Proverbs, these are things that we put our feet to. As we used to say, we're going to put shoe leather to the information that we have. And make no mistake about it, if you really want to know what a Christian should look like, act like, talk like, all you have to do is ask a non-Christian, and I've pretty much given up trying to tell people who tell me they don't want to go to church because of all the hypocrites that are there. And you know something? Sometimes it's true. So with that, turn, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 20. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of a king is as a roaring of a lion. Whoso provokes him to anger sins against his own soul. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will may be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore he shall beg and harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is deep water, but the man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. A king that sits in the throne of judgment scatters away all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. Divers weights and divers measures, both of them alike, are abomination to the Lord. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work is pure and whether it be right. The hearing of the ear, the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even them both. Love not sleep, neither lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt see, be satisfied with bread. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he is gone his way, then he boasts. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. He that goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flatters with his lips. Whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Divers weights are an abomination to the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his way? It is a snare to the man who devours that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the wheel over them. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. The blueness of a wound cleanses away evil. So do stripes the inward parts of the belly. One of the things I've enjoyed in reading the Proverbs over the years is that There doesn't seem to be a rhyme and a reason for them. If we were to categorize them per chapter, it would be not easy. For it seems to bounce around here and there, but yet if what we've found out over the past number of weeks is that pretty much every chapter deals with certain things in which we will call daily life. 31 chapters, chapter every day, and that's a good reason why a man that I once knew, when his children were growing up, they read a chapter of Proverbs every day for 15 years. Now, you and I might think that's kind of redundant. Why in the world would we want to do that? Was it because he was trying to inculcate into their little minds the fact that they live each day, not for themselves, but for the glory of God, to bring them up in the admonition of the Lord, as we would read in another portion, to try to remind us all, in a sense, for we as God's dear children, we are responsible for those that are about us. Responsible in the sense that when they see us, they should see something nothing about the nature and the character of what we would call earthly wisdom, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. Because there's also a heavenly wisdom, and the two are completely different. Whenever I went through this, the couple of things that I noticed was that I broke these down, and so rather than going by verse by verse, I'll just go by the various, you might say, categories that have come to what I believe is here. First is governmental authority, verses 2, 8, 26, and 28. Stop and think of the many verses that we read, regardless of whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, in which we're enjoined to look to those to have the rule over us, that we're to respect them, that we're to honor them, and above all, to pray for them. And you and I are responsible as those of us who walk this earth, that we're to be respectful of that particular government that God has placed in our midst. And sometimes it's not an easy one. As I look over the various news, I become a little bit aggravated at what I see. But this much I know is that we are to represent Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors. We are sojourners. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's all true. But during our time down here, we're to be respectful of the authority that's been placed over us. We read that the powers that be are ordained of God. Parental. I don't know about you, but having had six children, I can honestly tell you that it's not been an easy chore. I was told at the very beginning that being married was hard work. And all I had to do was add six children, and I found out really how hard work it is. In order to try to raise those children in the fear and the love of God, to try to inculcate into them that the Bible that we have in our hands even tonight is something to be respected, it's something to hold in honor, it's something to be read, and it's something to be obeyed. How about business? I don't know about you, but having been a pharmacist for over 53 years, I can honestly tell you, having managed, owned drug stores over the years, it's not been easy. Business is hard. Competition is hard. The people that we deal with are sometimes surly and incorrigible. Those that for which we can honestly say we kind of wish they wouldn't even come in the door. But yet, how am I representing Christ, even in spite of the fact that maybe the situation isn't exactly the way I'd like it? Personal relationships. One thing that I find out that is that every day I rub shoulders with somebody. Some are easy to get along with, but sometimes things don't always go right. I just got a new cell phone and everything went to pot. I can't imagine exactly, I don't like to call myself stupid, but I'm horribly ignorant. You put a computer before me, and I have to honestly admit there's an awful lot that I don't know. And if it wasn't for somebody to help me out, I'd be in trouble. But the last thing that person needs to hear is that I'm going to be a gripey, complainy, angry old man who comes in and tries to get someone to hold his hand, and he's everything but less than thankful or grateful. In business, we get verses 4, 6, 10, 13, 14, 16, and 23. In personal relations, we get 3, 5, 6, 14, 16, 17, and 24. How about integrity? You know, whenever I talk, I have to ask myself, what kind of a word am I saying? You know, we just got through singing, "Oh, little tongue, be careful of what you say," and I'm finding out that it's not always easy. It's always easy to be angry, and it's always easy to lash out, and it's always easy to use some kind of an expletive that you kind of wish you could take back. Or it could be something that you've said to your wife or your children, and all of a sudden you've made yourself everything less than the type and typical father that they would like to have. But this much, again, I know, and that is that whenever I have my dealings with people, I hope I remember that they need to see Jesus Christ in me. I know it sounds pedantic, but stop and remember, you may be the only Jesus Christ they may ever see. You're supposed to represent Him in all the glories and all the privileges, the characteristics, all the attributes of a heavenly person. And that's our life down here, whether we like it or not. And if people are looking at us, if people are listening to us, if people are watching us, if everything that we do is representing Him, then what kind of a testimony is that to them? But they also know very well that if I don't do those things, they can always ask, "I thought you were a Christian." It's one thing to profess. It's another thing to walk. Purity. We discussed a little bit about this whenever I did the sixth chapter, I believe. And that is that you and I and our bodies do not belong to me. My body belongs to my wife. My wife's body belongs to me. I've been bought with a price, therefore I am to glorify God in my body, which is Christ's. I have no right to take what is not mine and in some way misrepresent it to somebody else. A man once said, "I'm not responsible before God and before man as to how somebody treats me, but I am responsible before God and before man as to how I treat them." And now that sounds, you might say, like a one-way street, but isn't that what love is? Look at Jesus Christ. He died on a cross for everyone who hated Him, who despised Him, who made fun of Him, who misrepresented Him, who smote Him, and did everything. And yet, in His character and His nature, He represented God in holiness. And right now He's at the right hand of God, ever looking to intercede for you and I. Those things, Father, that we, well, let's face it. I wish I could say I was perfect. I wish I could say that I've never said, never done, or never thought anything that was something uncharacteristic, but all I have to do is look in the Word. The Bible is a mirror, just as much as a mirror is to our personal looks, and it reflects exactly who we are. And the last thing people need to see is somebody that represents Himself. They want to see Jesus Christ. They want to see the glories, the attributes, the characteristics that are of heaven. Turn, if you will, for just a moment over to James. I never really liked James because he's hard-hitting. He tells things just as they are. But in verse 5, it tells us that, well, let's back up a little again. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. The 8th chapter is a personification of Jesus Christ. If you were to reread that particular proverb, you would find out that I was before him, I was brought up with him, ever before the world was. And it says that his delights were with the sons of men. Wonderful thought and wonderful idea that we would get such a thought and concept in the Old Testament, but there it is. And it takes wisdom for us to walk down here. I wish I could say that there was something easy about it, but it isn't. For every day we are representing somebody else, and oftentimes the old flesh that's in us, the old man, sometimes Satan's there to try to make a mess of things, and it's always easy in the heat of anger, disappointment, and all the other negative emotions that there are, in order to let loose and to forget who we represent. Turn over to James chapter 4. I'm sorry, chapter 3. Starting with verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace, them that make peace. I was kind of curious because I was looking up the word conversation in Scripture, and it made me think, well, you know, I think I can probably talk all right, and then I found out that that's not exactly what it means. Conversation is manner of life. Manner of life, that our conversation is to be with salt. It should be something that's tasty, that we're to have a good conversation with those that are without our manner of life. And that includes our families, includes those about us, our co-workers, those that we go to school with, and all the other things that make life what it is. But the one thing I do know is this, and that you and I are not put down here to represent ourselves. I wish I could get that to us maybe a little bit more forceful. I wish there was a way I could think of all the words that would be needed, but this much, I know. And that is that we're heavenly people. Heavenly characteristics should become us. That the ideas and the concepts that we read in Scripture are not meant to be ignored. And that doesn't mean that we are going to be perfect. That's not true. You and I are in a school. From the time that we came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're in a school. And Jesus Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, the entire Trinity is in there to make sure that we understand these principles, these characteristics, these attributes, so that what we do, what we say, what we think, what we hear, how we feel, our hearts, everything Your entire body is something that represents Jesus Christ in the heavenly glory. You and I have that wonderful privilege because there's a world out there that's perishing. We often pray, even so come Lord Jesus, and it may be coming sooner than what we think. But this much again, we need to remember that people out there are dying, perishing. They're left in their sins. And the only thing left for them is a judgment that neither you nor I nor anyone else should wish upon anyone. I rejoice that I have this eternal salvation. I'm thankful for the assurance that I have. I'm thankful that it's never going to be taken away from me, that as a child I'm not going to be put out of the house because I make a mess or something, or because of something I said or something that I did. But just remember that people are looking at you and I in a way that is far, far different. They want to see Jesus in you and in me. We're coming to the close of all of this, but I would hope that through the time that we've had together that we possibly might keep in mind that we might take seriously the scriptures that we have before us, that we take seriously the life that we have in Christ, that we'd take seriously that our walk is in such a character that it would represent him well. And I often pray and encourage other people to do the same thing. Represent him well today, and whatever character it is. You say you have problems? Ask God for the wisdom to do it. Solomon didn't get wisdom of his own accord. When he became king, he asked that he would be a good ruler, that he would know how to lead the children of Israel. And what did God do? He gave him wisdom. And so we, even today, whenever we read about the Proverbs of Solomon, we read that he was the wisest man on earth. You and I have that same resource. The strength, the ability. Every resource that heaven has to offer is available to us to honor him. And no, it's not easy, and I'm not going to put out a carrot and make you think that it is, because it isn't. At 75 years old, I can honestly tell you I've made a mess of a lot of things, but I'm often thankful. I have to be thankful that Jesus Christ, because of his love for me, has kept me by grace, by mercy, and by love. And none of it is because I was worthy of it. So it is with our time at hand. It's time for us to pray. And possibly, if it could be, that maybe we would remember that we need to pray for each other, because you and I are brothers and sisters in Christ. You and I are representatives of a family that, to be honest with you, is very, very close. I want you to think of your children. I want you to think of your parents. I want you to think of all of the people that are around you. And I would like you to stop and remember that you and I are our brother's keeper. And I know that sounds like a heady thing to say, but stop and again remember that our goal is to make sure that as we go through this life, that we go through with a sense that we're going on to glory, and that the trials of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be received in us. How wonderful it is that eventually some glad morning when this life is over, I'm going to fly away and I'm going to be with Christ, which is far better. And then it won't be a matter of whether or not I'm going to be able to walk a straight path, because the path has already been laid. And I'm there again by grace, by mercy, and by love. Father, as we close this particular portion of our time tonight, well, it would be a personal request that somehow the whatever's been said has been done for you and for you alone, not because of my own wisdom or my own thoughts, but that it would be from your heart through me to the hearts of those who are listening. And as we go into prayer time collectively, that our desire would be that every single one of us would know that we are for each other, that we look at each other as a family, and that we desire that each of us walks worthy of the name for which we've been called. Thank you again, Father, for sending your Son. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that you've given to indwell us. Thank you for a Bible and a language that we understand. And thank you for a country that permits us to gather together. So we close all of this, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.